And a very good morning to you. My name is Nick the Moose Batsman, and I'm the Commander-in-Chief at tiptv.co.uk. The date, Thursday the 5th of November. We're here 10 a.m. every day, covering markets and sport, live from the heart of London, St Paul's. Purpose, make you money through thought-provoking ideas. Strong conviction tips to short-term trading. As we always say here, do not gamble with more than you can afford to lose. Today's guest list in no particular order: Zach Mir, Bill Hubbard with 1B, Richard Hunter, Josh Mahoney, Simon Smith, Charles Morris, Ian Foster, Ken Odaluga, Maria Zara and Freddie Bentley. Let's kick off with Zach. Morning to you.
Morning.
Zach's Cafe, and we've got Bill Hubbard, 1B, Chief Economist for Bullion Capital.
Good morning.
Now, yesterday he said you don't look old enough to be a senior analyst. I heard you say that. Are you? I guess you are old enough to be the Chief Economist.
Of course I am.
How many years have you been in the markets, Bill?
On the 15th of August this year, 45 years.
That's a long time.
Yes.
And you've still got that clear, you've clearly got the passion for it.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, I think the most exciting thing about the market is, no matter what happens, every day is different.
Different.
I mean, the first day that I joined was Friday, the 15th of August, 1971. Right, Morgan Guaranty Trust Company. I went to get ready for the training program, which started on Monday. That night, President Nixon got on the television talking about runaway inflation and wage and price controls, and said, "Oh, by the way, I'm taking the U.S. off the gold standard." So my first day at work didn't happen on Monday because nobody knew how to trade gold at not a fixed rate of $35 an ounce. So yeah, I've seen about 90% of the market changes, and it's been absolutely fantastic.
Zach, how long have you been in the markets?
About nearly 30 years now.
Well, there we are. Right, let's do down to business. Let's get stuck in. Let's kick off with the first slide, Tip TV Finance app. Get the latest tips first, download from the App Store. That's Tip TV in the 21st century. Let's move swiftly on to the brokers now. Zach, you chose Glencore, Persimmon and Entertainment One. Can we have a couple of bullet points on each of these, please?
Well, I just love Deutsche Bank, that well-known... Well, exactly. The laughter says it all. They should know. They should know sort of a bombed out situation when they see it. I think they made 6 billion euros of losses or dollars or whatever it was in the last quarter. The odd fine as well. So they're putting their gaze on Glencore. Buy from them. The only catch there is, I suppose, that their old target was 200 pence. It's now 190. So they're expecting the shares to sort of rocket over the near term.
Amazing. At least try to get close to the IPO price.
That's right, yes.
Persimmon?
Persimmon, just strange, I think some analyst came up, just over the week, the house builders have had a more negative view from the brokers. Can't really see it. I mean, you know, it just looks as though maybe the share prices have gone ahead of themselves in the near term, but, you know, it'd be tough to go short of a house builder even at these levels. So just something to watch there to see whether it's just a one-week wonder in terms of that. And the name Entertainment One, a company close to my heart. I've given Peppa Pig thousands of pounds in DVDs and toys over the last 10 years and money well wasted, I think. But they speak English very well. She does. So overweight, I would go with that as well. So 289. I hope something like Disney will take them over and, you know, makes a lot of money for people.
Okay, so let's have a quick look at the charts. These are as of the close last night. The Glencore chart.
Glencore, just I suppose being positive, which I'm not quite sure I want to be, but being positive there, you could say there's a line of support there down towards 105, a sort of flag formation. And this was an overshoot below, like 105 was an overshoot. So it just looks like there could be some acceptance above 105. But 190 or £2, a little bit optimistic at the moment.
Understood.
140 better.
Let's go and take a look at Persimmon.
I have to say, on the charting front, this does a bit look like a sort of double-headed head and shoulders formation. That's a neckline break there at £19. So that's
a bearish technical formation.
The brokers could be right on that front. So that would suggest that even if you are bullish on it, you would actually wait for the shares to get back above £19, back above that broken neckline before going long again.
Understood. And Entertainment One?
Taking quite a whack. This unfilled gap to the downside shows maybe, you know, change in market sentiment there. Situation here, probably we're in the sort of the bottom fishing zone here. The old support, what was that, around £2.30. So again, a bit like Persimmon, if you're sort of cautious on the stock, maybe wait for it to get back above there to show that there's a bit of positive momentum back in the stock.
Understood. Let's move on now to FX Street, courtesy Omkar Godbole. His thoughts today: Bank of England minutes and quarterly inflation report, hawkish 72, neutral 8-1, dovish 9-0. Bank of England could balance hawkish 7-2 vote counts with downward revision of core inflation forecasts.
I'm 7-2. And I think one of the things, the only reason is they're going to have the upward revision of the GDP numbers is because, remember, in the last year, we've had oil prices drop almost 50%, and some of those oil prices are going to start dropping out. So therefore, I think it's going to be a question of, you know, I would say 7-2.
Okay. Let's move on to Nicole at Congress House Financial Services Committee Chairman Fed Janet Yellen said that the December rate rise was a live possibility, taking Fed speak to a new level. She then added that no decision has been made on that, and what it will depend on is the FOMC's assessment at the time. Later last night, the Fed's official said US inflation is not as low as you would think, despite the market's inflation expectations dropping to a new record low. You don't think they're going to move this year, do you, Zach?
I don't think so. I think that it's easy for Yellen to be brave ahead of like a couple of payrolls numbers anyway. So is it just one more to go?
Two more
to go. So as I said, a couple of payrolls to go. So it's so far away in that sort of way that, you know, she can sort of talk the talk at the moment. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move swiftly on. What's trending? US economy, interest rates, payrolls, more uncertainty ahead. Goldman Sachs cuts exposure to oil and gas companies last quarter. ECB Draghi, parity calls make a comeback. So yeah. They're all your trending items. Let's move on to the bullish bearish percent. FTSE back at 67% on the bull, 33% on the bear. FTSE back above 6,400, technically not too bad, Zach.
It's a great, I mean, I think the line in the sand, probably 6,450 to 6,500 there. So we're sort of churning around. I wouldn't say that it's at a particularly significant level now. I think until the miners recover, it's going to be difficult for it to break that post-summer downtrend.
Understood. Okay, so let's go through some other charts. This is the Co report. The S&P 500 is now just over 1% away from a fresh record high. Breadth of the constituents trading above their 10-week moving average now 80%, indicating an uptrending market. It can remain at this high for weeks, during which time the index could move significantly higher. So the Co report is suggesting, in terms of the breadth, we're in a comfortable position on the S&P 500. Right. Courtesy of Colin Twiggs, incrediblecharts.com, the S&P 500 is testing resistance at the previous high of 2130. Reversal below 2050 now is unlikely, but would indicate another test of primary support at 1870. An extraordinary
It doesn't get
move.
More robust than that. W-shaped rebound, two gaps to the upside, unfilled on the most liquid index in the world. You know, that's got a lot of power
talk
behind
that
it.
That sign of strength. Okay. The Nasdaq 100's broken resistance of 4,700 and it's approaching its previous March 2000 for 816. Breakout would be a positive sign for the large cap S&P 500 and the Dow. Nasdaq is a leader, not a laggard. Okay, superb chart. The DAX is consolidating below resistance at 11,000. We're looking at a round number, a bullish sign. Breakout above 11,000 and the descending trend line would suggest a previous test of a previous high at 12,400. So a bit of a key point there. FTSE 100 testing resistance at 6,500. Breakout would suggest a test of the high at 7,100. Reversal below 6,250 is unlikely, but would warn a test of primary support at 6,000. So 6,250, the key chart point, according to Colin Twiggs. Let's move on to the Shanghai. The Shanghai Composite is testing resistance at 3,500. Breakout would signal an advance to 4,000, but remain wary of government intervention.
They've done well, haven't they?
The Nikkei 225 is testing resistance at 19,000. Breakout would signal another test of 21,000. Respect is unlikely. Reversal below 18,500 warns a primary support test at 17,000. So again, some big levels there. And the VIX, declining CBOE volatility index. The VIX indicates market risk is easing. Right, let's do three quick charts on live charting. Viewer requests, as always, if there's anything you want a humble opinion from Zach, let us know. The first one I've got is MONI.
Right, just the highlight here, really, if I can get the shares on the screen, is that we've just broken above the 50-day moving average for the first time in a couple of months. I hope this works. You can see that there. That's the 50-day line shown in blue. So we have the possibility, at least an intermediate rally back towards, say, 5 to 6 pence to fill that gap
Understood.
From September.
SML?
strategic minerals. We have a situation
where... You're testing some new software, Zach.
I'm trying to get Meta stock working. This is very pretty, though, isn't it? 50-day moving average there at 0.27 pence. We broke above it, bounced off it, and the target now, initial target, 200-day moving average at 0.43.
And finally, EVA or EUA, I can't read my writing.
Eurasia Mining, we are going for that now, I hope. Come on. Yeah, there we are. Basically, bear trap below 0.5 pence, initial target, the 200-day moving average at 0.72 pence. And basically, the message here is that the junior miners looking quite chirpy, even though the gold price is still down. But I sort of feel that the junior miners are a leading indicator on the mining sector recovering.
Thoughts of the day to wrap up?
That was it.
Okay, so you're suggesting that the small caps are leading?
The junior miners are leading the mining sector higher. Obviously, Glencore notwithstanding at the moment, they led the market. They led the market down in 2009. So I think that's something that hopefully will help the FTSE maybe going into next year.
Awesome, Bill. Final thoughts of the day for you?
I think December's a done deal with the Fed. I said, looking at Atlanta statistics coming out yesterday, feeling. All the U.S. has to do is have 112,000 jobs a month for the next 18 months to keep the unemployment rate at 5.1%. And I think Janet Yellen has got herself in a corner. She has to move in December. There's no reason not to.
Gentlemen, thank you for that.